be preached this last Sunday morning, but kind of God had a little bit of a different effect on that. We'll continue that this Sunday morning as well. So take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We've got several people that we need to pray for at the end of the service. Y'all remind me to do that. We got Debbie Gravett, Bud and Anna, the Puskas family, Stephen Krause, Lisa Lack, and Jan Turner. So y'all just remind me to pray for those at the end of the service, and we'll add any of those that we need to. Galatians chapter 6. The thought tonight is Rick and Sharon stopped by my office maybe a week ago when this kind of happened. They mentioned the word, and it kind of threw this whole thing into mix is, this is part of your Christmas. Y'all ever said that before? This is part of your Christmas, right? Like, you know, it's usually what happens is, what transpires is you're going to do something for somebody prior to Christmas, right? And what you're doing is you're forewarning them, do not expect. Don't expect any more or much more than what we're doing right here. Is that right? I might take it a little different. I was raised by different people. When they laid that out, when somebody said, this is part of your Christmas, what I mean is the Christmas morning effect is going to be diminished on my account, all right? Does that make sense? Is that good? Man, I like that. But on the other side of it is, sometimes we forget, hey, wait a minute, that was part of my Christmas. And if we're really aware and think about it, that thing that was part of our Christmas might be better than all the stuff that we got on Christmas Day and might last a lot longer, right? Does that make sense to you now? All right, good, good, good. I didn't want to set that up because when I was explaining, when I heard it, I almost felt like I was kind of throwing Rick and Sharon them under the bus, and then I felt like I kind of backed it up and barked the tires on it right there, but I didn't mean that like that. That's the way, when I heard that, it made the gears in my life. I'm not saying that they're going to diminish somebody else's Christmas, by all means. Now they're going to have to go out this last week and purchase more stuff for those good, fine people who they're talking about, all right? Y'all good? I don't know. I probably murdered that. But I wish, and as I was preparing for this message over the last couple of weeks, I thought to myself, as a Christian on Wednesday night, a Christian in my church, I wished that people would have taught the Bible the way I'm going to kind of try to teach to you. Not that I'm a good teacher, not that I'm a good preacher, but at this, that I wished I had known some of the stuff that was in the Bible that was like meat, that was so good to eat on, and that I would know that stuff, and I could be a better believer. I could be a better church member. I could be a better child of God. I could be a better saved person. And also, there's going to be some stuff in here by the end of it. We're going to say, hey, and this is part of your Christmas too. This is part of your salvation. This is part of Jesus coming down, saving your soul, changing your life, giving you an eternal destination. I know where I'm going to be when my life ends. You better, my old pastor, the first pastor I ever had after I got saved, you better know that you know that you know, right? But I know that I know that I know. There's no doubt in my mind, when I pass away, I'm going to heaven. But praise God, there are some other parts of my salvation that, man, they do me good on this side. They do me real good, amen? And when I get to them, you'll see. We're going to go as fast as I can. Some of y'all are laughing already, but just hang with me. We're going to go fast. Galatians 5:1, all right? And we are going to try to get this whole chapter in. Now y'all laughing. Stand fast. Do y'all see that? Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage is the law. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. That's crazy for Paul to say. That's crazy for Paul to even mention this, knowing who Paul is. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisee. He was a student of the law. He was a Pharisee. He came up under Gamaliel. He studied every aspect of Jewish law and custom. This is crazy for him to minimize the circumcision. The reason he minimized the circumcision, or the first covenant that was given to Abraham, is because he ran into one Jesus Christ. Whew. I heard somebody give it like a little log. Man, some of y'all said to him, oh my, thank God he ran into Jesus. Amen? Because circumcision does nothing for us as Gentiles, nothing for us as New Testament believers. But because Paul ran into Jesus, then he penned this letter that the circumcision means nothing. It's all about what Jesus did. Whew, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get stuck right there. I said I was going to hurry. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become none effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Ain't that amazing place in the Bible? We always consider falling from grace as sin. It's not. It's when you go to justify yourself through the law. Man, for years when I was coming up as a non-believer, and then when I got saved and I kind of hung out with some people who thought they knew the Bible or thought they would, what they were trying to do is they were trying to convince me that you could lose your salvation. And when you get to studying that right there and it says, oh, you can fall from grace, you can fall from grace. So I kept thinking, man, I don't want to fall from grace. But then when I got to studying Paul's letter, what he was saying is the circumcision, every time you read that circumcision, what you got to realize is he's talking about the law, right? The first covenant, okay? That's the first covenant of the law. You're circumcised on the eighth day. That puts you as a Jewish person. You're under the law, okay? Well, he said, if you do that, guess what? If you're going to start out to do the law, if you're going to say, okay, let's just do it this way. If I'm a Jewish man, I'm a Jewish woman, I'm under the law. If you're circumcised and you're going to say that, you know what you got to do? You got to do the whole law. You got to do it all. You know what's impossible? Do the whole law. Ain't that cool? It's impossible. So guess what? When you start, this is going to help so many people here tonight. When you start out as a believer in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, what you're saying is, I trust in everything that Jesus did and nothing I can do. But if you ever go, all right, from now on though, I'm gonna try to keep the Sabbath. Because the Sabbath's good, right? Sabbath is good. Everybody needs a day of rest. But you know what? If you try to keep the Sabbath, guess what you got to do? You got to keep all nine of the other commandments, all of the things that were against the ordinances that were against you in Jewish law. Got to keep them too. Amen. So guess what? You can't keep the Sabbath. You know what? Jesus come in the Sabbath. And when I mention the Sabbath, because everybody will say, you can look at all of them. Jesus is the Sabbath. He said, I'm your rest. Amen. He becomes your rest. He becomes, when you take all your burdens and all your heavy laden, listen, I'm preaching better than you're letting on right here. You take all of your burdens, all of your pain, all of your heartache, all of your trouble, all of your work, everything, and you take it to Jesus and say, give me your yoke, because your yoke is easy and my yoke is heavy and it's hard to carry. And you give him your yoke and he gives you his yoke and he's easy. Golly, I could probably have an altar call right now for some of you because you're carrying a yoke that you were never meant to carry. You're as saved as you can be, but you're carrying the bondages, you're carrying the weight. You never rest in Christ Jesus. It got quiet in here. I'll just take it as you're listening. I need that sometimes. I need to be reminded that I don't have to carry everything. You're fallen from grace. Verse 5, For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Woo, glory. Amen. For in Jesus Christ there is neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You know what he was saying right there? He said, listen, stand fast in your faith that Jesus was enough. That's that whole first 6 and 7 verses right there. What he was saying is, don't ever get shook off of you just putting your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Because you know what? I've done this. I've been around long enough now to know that sometimes you'll get next to somebody who's doing a lot of stuff to make them look good on the outside, and it'll kind of intimidate you. Amen? Oh, just wait. If you ain't done it yet, there'll be some people that you'll get next to, and man, they will have a laundry list of things that they do or don't do, and man, you'll be like, man, I'm minimized by these people. They're greater than. Golly, if y'all, would y'all just 2 or 3 of you in this room right here, just look at me and go, I know what you're talking about. I've been around some women, man. They're holier than holy. I mean, they got the dresses and they got the right dresses, right? And they got the hair, they got the right hair. They got the makeup or they got the no makeup, man. I mean, you know, they're devout. They pray. They raise, man, I wish I could, one amen, I'll stop, I promise. They raise their kids, man, their kids are all perfect. I mean, one sews, one cooks, one cleans, one, I mean, my goodness gracious, I can't even get my kid to pay attention. But I mean, they got them lined up like geese. They just waddle along, do everything. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. They've got to be more spiritual than us. The men, oh my goodness, I tell y'all this, but I run into people, padres, priests, spiritual leaders, don't eat, do eat, pray 10 times a day, stay on my face, don't do this, don't do that. Man, I white shirt, white, black tie, black suit, dress, part, shave. Who are you? Who are you, old God? You just feel like you can just go anyway? No, I listen to God, and when He tells me to, I do this, and when I don't. But 99% of the time, God says, it's up to you. That hurts some people's feelings, but you know what? I'm free in Christ Jesus. Because you know what? The priests, I hate to tell you this, I could preach you all the way through this. The Pharisees and the Sadducees would make you look sick. If they walked in here, they'd make us all look sick. You let 12 Pharisees, rabbis walk in here from head to toe, mufflers, wimplers, crisping pins that have the 12 stones on their breastplate. They would pray. They would do things, and they would say, we don't do this and we do that. And you would be intimidated. You'd be sitting here going, we're underdressed. We don't even know how to look at these people. You know what God said when they seen them? You are whited sepulchers. He said, on the outside, you look wonderful, but on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones. He said, God, I'm being honest with you. God wants the inside man to be holy. And the outside man, He wants it to be obedient to the inside man. Because I know some people on the outside, boy, you'll be impressed. They could come into your house and point out everything you do wrong. Dishes aren't clean. Floor aren't swept. House ain't kept. Huh? But if you got down into those men's lives and those women's lives, meaner than rattlesnakes. Mean, hard-hearted, trying to lay things on you that never was meant to lay on you. And if you ever examined them, you would say, man, you made me feel this tall because some dishes in my sink. And praise God, you don't love people. Oh, God. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. I knew when I drove up here tonight, I said, oh, gosh, that I've got the spirit to preach tonight. I hope 4 people show up. I was trying to rush through. I thought, man, maybe it'll be a Wednesday night where we just kind of get through. I'm glad we're not just going to get through tonight. You signed up. I'm sorry. You're here. Verse 7. Look at this. This is so sweet. Watch how you. I love this verbiage in here. You did run well. That there's a better breakdown of the English as you were running well. I like that better. You were running well. Did y'all know that? Some of y'all got born again, and you were just as happy as clams, shouting it from the rooftops, telling everybody you got saved, loving on everybody, and all of a sudden somebody come and gave you a rule book. They gave you a rule book, and you're like, oh, I was. You know, Paul said you was running well. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I get excited. Let me go back and read the first part of this before I get it all messed up. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Question, who told you that mess? Who gave you all that? Who started putting the bondages of the law, the rules, and everything back on you? Who did that? Watch this, verse 8. I love this. If I take off running, one of you folks finish, please. Can I be honest with you? I thought we'd be further along before I got into the good part of the message. I was going to run past this like it was nothing. Here we are, Charlie, you know. Watch this, verse 8, watch. This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. Oh, God, I thought y'all would be like, when I read that, I'd be like, oh, light, bing, thought, bing, cloud, boom. Right? You know what he just said? Whoever gave you the rule book, whoever put you back under the law, who told you were less than, who stopped you from running well, that was not God. But okay, let me break it down this way. God called you. God sent for you. God saved you. He is the one by the Holy Spirit called you out of your wretched sin and saved you and changed you and set you on firm ground and said, I love you so much. Now go, run well. He is not the one who persuaded you to put all these yokes and bondages and everything over on yourself. All he wanted to do is set you free. Set you free from your sin, set you free from the legality, and love on people like Christ loved you. And then guess what? Share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Share your testimony. Share the love of Christ and see people saved. More people aren't saved because you know what we did? Instead of sharing Jesus, we shared the bondage. Can I, will y'all let me preach tonight? Just please, well, let me tell you something. You know, we spent most of our time trying to get somebody to come to church instead of coming to Jesus. I'm being honest. The only people I ever seen come to church in my lifetime were not the people that I said, here, I would like to invite you to church. Please come on these hours. You know what they did? That it was the people who seen Jesus working in my life going, something about you is different. Where do you go? Where do you attend? Because I would like to go where you're going if it's like that. And can I tell you, the first few years of my church life, my church was really not on fire. It wasn't nothing special. Matter of fact, it was kind of weird. Anybody ever had weird church? Amen. Guess what? I had some friends of mine at work. When I got on fire for God, they would say, I'm coming to your church this weekend. I was like, oh, God, no, please don't. Because I mean, it's not on fire. It's not exciting up there. There's no telling what they will say. Right? But I'm glad now. I'm just being honest with you. If anybody ever tells me, I love little stuff like this. I do this in the Valley, in Saudi, in Dunlap. Somebody said, I'm thinking about coming up to your church. I said, yeah, please do. Please do. I double dog dare you to step in there. Well, I'm just looking. You know, I'm just going to be messing around. Yeah, just come on. I dare you. Right? Because you know what? I love this place. I love what God's doing here. Never mind. I'm just kind of biased on that end. Verse 8, this persuasion cometh not. We're not even in the meat yet, I'm sorry. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. A little bit of the law ruins the whole thing. A little bit of the rules ruin the whole thing. Man, you know nobody preaches this stuff in some churches. You know what I mean? If you ever preach this in some churches, you'll get killed with a T. Verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be... You will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would that you that they were even cut off which trouble you. Verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, and only use not the liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Watch this right here. You know what Paul said? He said, if I was preaching the law and then putting people back under the bondage of it and just said instead of just Jesus and him crucified, why am I getting in so much trouble? You want to get in trouble for God? Preach the resurrection, preach the death, burial, and resurrection, preach the gospel, preach the good news, and preach everyone is welcome in the house of God. I've heard it. You know, I've been pastoring here for a little bit now. I've heard it. Some people say, well, they'll let anybody in there. I even heard one guy say, I won't go there because there was a sinner sitting on the front row. I can't believe they would let somebody like that go in that church. I'm not going back. I'm like, man, you're going to hate hell. You'll hate hell. Because guess what? If a sinner comes in here and sits down, they are the most high guest in our home. They are the most honored guest we have. We're not going to put them on the deacon board. We're not going to give them a vote. We're not going to put them in the choir. We're not going to put them in the preaching place. We're not. You know what we're going to do? We're going to love them and say, God will find you right where you're at. If he changes you, you're a brother or sister in Christ. Welcome home. Amen? Oh, I can't believe they would let somebody. There's going to be a lot of people who go to hell thinking they're better than some people that are lost. And yes, their sins are big. They are nasty. They are gross. They are terrible. But yes, guess what? You can drown in 3 foot of water just like you can 100 foot of water. Amen? Drowning is drowning. Whew. I'm glad we're recording this tonight. Verse 11, my brethren, If I yet preach circumcision, verse 12, I would that you were cut off which trouble you. Verse 13, for brethren, you have called unto liberty. Yeah, let's get to verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. That's freedom. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm going to be honest with you, use a word right here. This is a great place to examine yourself, whether you're in the faith of Jesus Christ. How do you love other people, especially other believers? That's simple. That's God sitting there going, put on the gown, examine yourself. You're in the hospital. How do you love other people? If you are against other people, especially of the household of faith, all the time, you better find yourself on your face before God saying, oh, forgive me. Because that's dangerous. Because if you love other people, you will forgive quickly like yourself. You will dress them before you dress yourself. You'll take care of them before you take care of yourself. If you love others, you will be so compassionate, so loving, and you will forgive. Why will you forgive? Because you've been forgiven much. Amen? The moment they say, will you please, you go, I already have. Are y'all good? Because it's going to get better. Man, God, give me some stuff right here. This is like medicine. Y'all better this right here will go in, and it'll taste bad at the beginning, but it'll help us. And you got to be aware of these things. Coming up real quick, watch this. Verse 15, But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one another. Stop devouring each other, all right? That's what it's saying. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is big. If you're walking in the Spirit, guess what? It's hard to satisfy the flesh if you're walking in the Spirit. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, you're usually walking away from what your flesh wants to do, and you're walking into what God wants you to do. Now look, let's go a little further. Watch this. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do anything that you would. Amen. Is anybody amening that right there? Where you want to do one thing, but you can't. You're plotting and planning and thinking in the flesh, but if you're walking in the Spirit man goes, no. Grace. No. Mercy. No. Love. No, shut up. That's my favorite one. That one's needed more for me than anybody else. Please don't take that as a, it's for me. It's like, hey, shut up. Have you ever done that to yourself? Please be quiet right now. You'll look so smart if you'd be quiet. Amen. I got this little saying to all, but a fool uttereth his whole mind, but a wise man keeps it to the end. Every once in a while, I have to say to myself, hey, fool, shut up. I talk to myself a lot harder than I do other people. Are y'all good? Verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh. Now these are good, all right? Now these are some of them are home runners. We can hit them. I could sit in here and preach to you these things, and you would all say amen, hallelujah, praise God. But I'm going to preach some of these because nobody ever preaches them in the church because they're hard to deal with. But we're going to watch out for them. Not only if we're performing them, but other people who are attending church or around in ministry, if they are performing like this, we need to be aware of it. Our manifest, which are these. Adultery, we know what that is, right? Fornication, we know what that is. Uncleanliness, lasciviousness, we know those are easy. Idolatry, big one, not going to do it. Witchcraft, not even going to be mentioned here at Flat Top Church. We're not doing witchcraft. Hatred, right? Oh, that's a good one, Kevin, hatred. If you're dealing in hatred, that's easy because if you're a hateful person, mean person, we get it. Well, let's look right here in this one. This is going to get real good, real quick. Variance. Okay, I had to look this one up. Strife. In your flesh, if you're always at strife with people, strife. Oh, I've got to get them. I've got to get them. I'm going to say this. I'm going to do that. Strife. Be careful. You're operating in the flesh. Amen? You're operating in the flesh. If you're walking through this parking lot or any ministry you're in, you walk through this door, and the first thing is, well, I can't wait to wrestle with that one. Can't wait to strive with that one right there. I got to get my point across. I'm going to let them know. I got to hit them with my best moves, right? That's not the house of God. Iron sharpens iron. Right? We come in here, we're supposed to come in here and we're supposed to make each other better, edify one another. We're supposed to pray for one another, love on one another. This place is supposed to be the only place that we can come to in our society and melt into in here, and we all have the same common goal. Love God and love people. Love God and love people. Amen? So you got to look out for that one. Man, I wish somebody would have told me some of this stuff when I was coming through Christianity. I mean, when I was first walking in Christianity, I mean, all I heard is, don't drink, don't lie, don't sleep outside of marriage, blah, 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 and this hammered at. Budweiser, don't drink. And listen, if you're drinking, having sex outside of marriage, you're wrong. Repent, just come back to Jesus. But if you're always causing strife, same. Same. And it's easy, because guess what? If you got one thing in common, these people are fighting, those people are fighting, those people are fighting, and those people are fighting. But if they're always fighting with the same person, hello. Guess who's in common right there? The one person, right? Realize that. Well, that's good. I wish somebody had told me that when I'd first come in. All right, let's go back to verse 20. Is hatred, variance, emulations. Man, I was like, what is emulations? Jealousy. Oh, jealousy. Nobody ever gets jealous in the house of God. Nobody ever gets jealous. Praise God. You know what? This is one thing that we need to learn to do everywhere in the house of God. If somebody's doing something for God and God's working through it, we need to become the biggest cheerleaders for that person and God ever. We don't need to be going, man, why is God using somebody like that? Why is God doing that through them? Why ain't he using me? He should have used me. Should have been that. Should have been doing this. Praise God. You know what? You are the most miserable person in the house of God. You're mad at God and the person that could be edifying you. Have you ever cheered for somebody, listened to somebody? Man, I went somewhere and I thought, man, I've done this. I've been so, man, like I said, I wish somebody would have done it. I should be preaching. I'm a better preacher than this guy, right? So, I guess I'll just be real, but I've been to some, I'm like, God, I could preach circles around this guy. I've heard some people go to this scripture and start reading the scripture. I'm like, oh, gosh, I got 5 monster points. Bam, bam, bam. I could kill this thing. And he's not on any of those. And I'm sitting there going, whoa. What? He got 25, 30, 40, 70, 7,500 people here. Man, they need a word, and you're sitting there doing this, and I can feel my spirit, man, going, shut up and listen. He's about to give you something that you don't have. You know why he ain't touching on the things that you think he should be touching on? Because I'm going to speak to you through him. If you would shut up and cheer for me and cheer for him and listen. Praise God. Some of the best times I've ever had was when I shut up, put my plate out, got my fork in one hand, knife in the other hand, wrapped that thing around my neck and said, just feed me. Walked out of meetings going, man, I don't know if that was good. He's kind of a teacher preacher, da 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 da. Got in my car. 2 weeks later, things are going on, and everything that man preached was my life. I'm like, God, I wish I could sit under that guy for the rest of time. And God would say, nope, you should have just cheered louder for him. You should have been happy that I used him. And guess what? I helped you anyway. So the next time, I'm going to preach a little to you right here. The next time I give you this same thing, pass the test. Because God is good at retesting. About 4 of you should have said amen in there. Because some of y'all are in the same grade like me sometimes. Because you're like, man, why is everybody else graduating? Because, like, you won't pass the test. Oh, never mind. That was just for me, I guess. Verse 20, where are we at? Emulations, wrath, strife. That strife right there is different. It's selfish ambition. Selfish ambition. It's all about me. If I ain't getting to do my thing at the house of God, then everybody else shouldn't be getting to do theirs. Selfish ambition. I should be climbing this ladder. I'm going above. Listen, that's not how God works at all. God, maybe I made a note right here. God ain't lost you. God ain't lost you. You're not off in the weeds with God. I can look out around this crowd and I can see some of y'all. Hey, you've got jobs. You've got you've had you've wanted to climb the ladder of success. You want to, you look around anywhere, and you think, man, the boss has forgot about me. Especially if somebody rock and roll comes in, they're like, man, that guy's going, this girl's going. Man, they forgot about me. Well, see, the difference between God and everybody else, God never forgets anybody. And he uses everything to build you up, to strengthen you, put things in. He takes some things away, not to take it away, just to see how you're going to respond and how he can make you stronger by taking it away. Right before David went to the palace, he went from playing the harp in the king's palace to watching his daddy's sheep, then to going back to the palace, and then, you know what? Then putting on the track, then being put on the track to become the king of Israel. God uses that. He ain't never lost you. So don't get selfish ambition and sit there and go, man, if I'm not going to, I didn't get used right. Everything that goes on, God uses it all. Every disappointment, every heartache, every time you've been crushed. Matter of fact, can I just say it the way it should be said? God uses the crushing more than he uses the blessings in your life. You wait and see. Some of y'all are going to be Christians by 4 or 5 years from now, and you thought the thing that was crushing you, what it did is it got the good out of you. Crushing always gets the good. The longer you get crushed, for the longer period of time you get crushed, the better the stuff that's being crushed. Amen? It's like the olive oil press. Amen? That good stuff, you get crushed real good, it goes all the way down. It starts somewhere for like regular use all the way down to medicine, then food, then medicine. I'm ruining that right there because I didn't come to preach that. But I want to tell you this, don't worry about the crushing. Every part of the crushing, every part of the disappointment, every part of the heartache, every other trouble brings forth a good result. You'll be somebody told me one time I was in one of the darkest, lowest places in Christianity. I'll leave right here. And somebody who was wise in my life sent me a message, says, because of this, you'll be a better preacher. I was like, I could have done without the course. But guess what? I'm better now because guess what? I learned. Okay? Got that? Man, this is good. Is this Wednesday? Good Lord. Somebody else should have showed up. Sorry, I just got excited and had to say it something like that. Long-suffering, gentle. Oh, I'm still on verse 20. Seditions, dissensions. I'm going to jump on to, watch this last one is heresies. It's factions. We got to be aware of this in the church, in ministries, anything you're doing. If you've got a structured leadership, God, pastor, councilman, and teachers, and singers, and people, that is the structure. Faction says, we can do it better than them. We're going to do it over them. We're going to do it under them. We're going to do it around them. And we're going to do it our way. That's wrong. That's wrong. It's dead wrong. Factions don't work. Factions destroy. Factions eat away. If factions erode, you know what will happen if you got factions? Guess what? The factions might take over. You want me to share what it looks like? You know what it looks like when the factions take over? All the good leaves, all the bad stays. And next thing you know, you're dead. You're spiritless. You're sitting in the house of God and you're going, Where'd all the life go? Where'd all the joy go? The peace go? The kids go? The young adults? The middle age? Where'd they all go? Well, we started working our way, getting our thing we wanted. Here's what it looks like. It's Jesus has been crucified. He's dead. He's in the ground. 3 days later, he's been resurrected. And all the disciples and all the apostles are beginning to wake up to the fact that you can't kill Jesus. Let me give you the first two. On the road to Emmaus, two men are coming to the realization that Jesus Christ is very much alive, and they've been walking with him for about 7 miles. And their hearts are burning within them because they're walking with Jesus. And they walk all the way to the end of the road, and they stop to get something to eat, and they beg Jesus. They plead with him. They hadn't felt like this for about 4 days. They begged, will you come in and stay with us? And they did. And all of a sudden, Jesus took a piece of bread and broke it. And when he broke the bread, he opened their eyes. And they said, oh my God, it's him. And they both looked at each other and said, our hearts not burn within us. They jumped up and ran 7 miles back to Jerusalem. That's a 14-mile journey in one day. They ran on the Holy Ghost Express on the way back. They got back to Jerusalem. And the Pharisees and Sadducees and all of Jerusalem were sitting around going, we got it our way. We got rid of Jesus. sitting here in the temple in the synagogue. We're glad we got rid of that troublemaking Jesus, that coming here healing Jesus, that life-changing Jesus, that devil casting out Jesus. No more devils being cast out, no more being healed, no more life, no more joy, no more peace, no more stuff. Man, we got it our way. Glad it's me and you, brother. It's just us in here now. Jesus will do that. He'll let you have your way. I don't want that. I want Jesus' way, don't you? What's good? That's good stuff. Y'all ready? This is part of your Christmas. I should have got to this by now. Verse 21, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such like of all which I tell you before, as if I've told you in the past, that they which do these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. None of those people are getting into the heaven. I just hurt you right there. I'm just telling you. None of those people who are doing those things, not all those crazy things, those two, but those things that we don't consider big sins, they're not getting in either. Listen to this verse 22. This is part of your Christmas. This is part of our, ain't this awesome? But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Whew. God gives you this love. It's part of your Christmas. Not only did He love you, God loved you when you were unable to do anything for Him, but He gave you this love the same way to love other people like Christ loved you. I never knew how to love until I found love. Amen? That's part of your Christmas is love. Joy. Whew. Joy is not happiness. God, I wish I could help me. Joy is not happiness. I can cry and still have joy. I can weep and still have joy. I can be broken and still have joy. I could be at the end and still have joy. Amen? Some of y'all know in this room, I'm looking around the room, I know some of you in this room. Some of y'all been in the dark, but you got joy. There's something in there, mad, hurt, disappointed, lost, confused, angry, why, how, when, where, but there's joy. Joy comes in the morning, amen? And that's 12 o'clock at night sometimes, right? Peace. We can speak on peace. I didn't even know. Man, I wish I hadn't. I didn't even know what peace was until I found it. I preached on peace, heard about peace coming up. Oh, peace, past all understanding. Peace. I told that, man, until you are at the end, until you get to that place where you need that, you don't even know you get it. I've been a few funerals, peace I didn't realize that I had. Sickness, peace that I didn't have. Now I can preach on something, but my gosh, when the installment comes, when the download hits you, when the benefit kicks in, when part of your Christmas gets delivered and you didn't even know what it really was. Golly, bum. I should be mad. I should be angry. I should be bitter. I should be this. But my gosh, for some reason, I've got peace. I'm sitting here doing something that if you would have said in a conversation, I didn't think I would be able to do it. I didn't think I would be able to control myself in this situation, but I've got peace over my feeling. Golly, that's so good. I'm going to need that myself. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Boy, faith to believe when you can't see. How many of y'all have had to stand on the faith when you could? I mean, you're sitting there going, you told people you believed, you told people you loved Jesus, but when you had to go out there and stand on it in the dark, wind, rain, cold, by yourself, and you're standing on that limb, huh? And you're like, I don't even know how we're out here, but God is good. Whew. Meekness. That's power. Man, when you could have snapped somebody, it's power under control. It's Jesus on the cross and somebody going, come down there for you if you got it. If you got, come down from there. He could have took every nail and backed it out. Amen? He could have backed out. He could have, my whole thing was every time I preached that, he could have said, God, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. The sky could have split open. The appearance of God could have come out and everybody would have died. Bam, just like that. There was a legion of angels, 10,000. Boy, if you cut one loose, killed 100,000 people in the Bible in about a 30-minute span, there were 10,000 of them going, let us loose. Forgive them, Father, they know what to do. Speaking all the way from the beginning of time to the end of time. Forgive them, Father. They don't know what they do. For every sin, every time you said something about God you didn't mean, every time you sinned, everything you come out of your mouth, everything you've done, everything you've thought, everything. And go, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. When they know, they'll love me. When they really see who I am, they'll know what they got. when I really seen him. I mean, I rejected God most of my life, but when I seen who he was, I'm glad he had power under control. I'm oftentimes saying, God, come back. God, hurry up. God, come, God, come. And all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, there's a lot of people who need grace like I got grace. So if you're not going to come today, save as many people as you can, and I'll be praying that you do. Whew, glory to God. This is such a hard-hitting message. Temperance. Whew. Temperance didn't have it. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of the lust. Amen. My flesh is dying daily. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. You know what it says? Let's just stay in the Spirit. And guess what? Love other people. Do not provoke them and do not envy them. Walk in the Spirit and just resign to this. God has me here. I'm going to walk through this. And if God wants me doing this, I'll do it. And if he doesn't, I'm going to praise him where I'm at. Amen? Let's all stand. Whew.